Hello, guys. Welcome to the Blackspin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to a special episode. Now, if you're watching this and not actually listening, you're probably like, wait, what is going on
here?
Where are they? A little switch up. Again, we're always surprising you guys. Mm-hmm. We're here again surprising you for a Wimbledon special podcast at Playbox at Box Park Croydon.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And the reason why we are here is because, drum roll please. Thank you. On Sunday, 6th of July, we'll be here at Paybox at Box Park Croydon for a Wimbledon watch party.
So come and watch along, guys.
Have to come. It's not everyday football. Whatever other sport people are watching. Sometimes come along and watch some tennis.
British summertime, Wimbledon. British summertime. Come on, you know what it is.
It makes sense. How are you, Eugene?
I'm so excited, honestly. Like, this is incredible. Like, to be doing this in collaboration with Box Park, Croydon, and Playbox, of course, as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Wimbledon is such a special time of the year. Like, I'm just excited for Wimbledon.
Same.
Like, what about you?
I'm really excited for Wimbledon. I feel like this tennis season has been really fun. A lot of new winners, a lot of new things like happening. Like, for example, clay season at the beginning, I wasn't feeling it.
Yeah, I remember you saying, yeah.
And at the end, I was like, oh my gosh, this was so great. So yeah, I want that momentum to continue with grass season, especially that is looking like, I don't want to jinx it, it's looking like the weather's looking, you know,
fingers crossed.
It might be a very good Wimbledon for us with the nice weather. But most importantly, a massive shout out to Playbox at Box Park Croydon for having us here. And yeah, I'm so excited.
It's a lovely venue as well.
Very nice venue. Like, look at all the big screens, the colors. Like, it's going to be fun. Honestly, one of the best places like to come and watch all sports. So I'm definitely so excited for this. But it's only right for us to give you a little something about Wimbledon, from guides to how to get tickets to predictions to everything.
Players to watch.
You know? So we've got you. But let's actually begin with a beginner's guide to Wimbledon. Here are like three things I feel like you need to know. Okay. So number one, Wimbledon is part of like the four Grand Slams. So you have the Australian Open, the Roland Garros, also known as French Open, and Wimbledon, and then US Open.
I think it's also important to mention, so Australian Open's played on hard.
Yes.
The French Open's played on clay, mm-hmm. which is the only Grand Slam played on clay.
Yep.
Wimbledon is grass, the only Grand Slam played on grass. And the US Open, also another hard court Grand Slam. So yeah, important to kind of mention that as well.
And the Grand Slams are like, I always say the Champions League of
that.
Tennis.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a very big tournament.
Big deal.
Prize money is huge. So this year, for instance, the winners will get 3 million men and women. A massive shout out to the legend Venus Williams for making that happen. You know,
indeed.
The checks coming
icon.
Through.
Icon.
They also get 1,000 ranking points. I'm not going to bore you too much about that. I know that, but that might be a little bit more complicated.
No, we don't do that.
but it's very important in tennis. But most importantly, I feel like Wimbledon is like the biggest, not just tennis tournament, but like one of the biggest sports
definitely. So it's up there.
Yeah. So when players win this, is completely different. Which goes back to my second point as well, you know, is the most prestigious tennis tournament. A lot of players, when they win Wimbledon, is like, oh my gosh, especially that some non-tennis fans might not know, or casual tennis fan might not know, the grass season is extremely, extremely small. So for you to be able to win such a big tournament and you don't have a lot of time to warm up or play other, you know, grass tournaments other than Wimbledon is pretty impressive. Yeah. And last but not least, no, you do not have to wear all white if you're a guest. That is only for the players. You know, I actually thought that the first time I went Wimbledon.
Really?
I thought I had to wear something white. Like, I didn't think all white.
That's just for the players, man.
But like, I actually thought I have to wear something white. So I wore like a white top, green trousers. I went solo for my first time.
It's a good day out.
It was a very good day out. Yeah. I did have a little bit of pims here and there, but it was a nice moment. But I'll say these are the three most important beginner guide for Wimbledon. Here are some things you need to know if you're going to Wimbledon in person. So number one, use the app. Use an app. You will have to use an app anyways because that's where you get your ticket. But use it beyond that. I feel like Wimbledon actually has the best app.
Yeah, I think it's probably one of the best.
Out of all the Grand Slams. It's very useful. So even if you're actually not going in person, this is actually a great tip, mainly because you get a lot of information about the matches, the stats, even their like previous history.
It's very clean as well, like quite easy to use.
Yeah.
So it's a good like user experience.
Exactly. And then when you're there in person, you can use the map. You have an idea of where the courts are, especially that sometimes when it comes to tennis tournaments, matches, courts like can be moved or cancelled. Just so that you can stay up to date. There's so many things that you can do with the app. So yeah, don't just use it just to get your ticket. Use it to also enhance your experience when you're there in person. And the second thing that I will say is take advantage of the fact that you can actually bring food and drinks on site. A lot of people don't know this. Cost of living and that is a bit high and everything. So please don't be shy from taking a couple of sandwiches or whatnot, some fruits or crisp or whatever. And even booze, you're also allowed to even bring some booze, but please do go to the website and check the requirements. Obviously, there are some rules of what you can bring, what you can't bring. So you can bring like champagne or whatnot, but please don't be walking in with a bottle of Henny or Grey Nephew. They're going to tell you to go, to throw that away. So,
move along.
Yeah. And speaking of food, which is the next point, you must have the strawberries and creams when you're at Wimbledon. Like that is just, you just have to do it. You can't go to Wimbledon and not have strawberries and creams. And the best thing about it is actually only £2.50, which has been the case since 2010. So shout out to Wimbledon for keeping that.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Low. I know.
Because strawberries ain't cheap.
So it hasn't been affected by inflation. That's wild.
That's true.
That is crazy.
Let's keep it that way too, guys. Please. Maybe we should have said that. Let's not give them some ideas. Like, don't make that price go high. But yeah. And I'm not even just saying it because it's just that Wimbledon. The strawberries are actually, I don't know what it is. I feel like they put something in the strawberries.
I've only had them once. I mean, I'm not a big strawberry guy. I'm just going to put it out there. But yeah.
Okay, so that means I've got a mission this year to make you eat more strawberries and creams then. So yeah, we're going to do that. But honestly, every time I go as a fan or media, I always have strawberries and creams. Like, it's so sweet, so nice. And obviously, it's strawberry season, so it makes sense. And another thing you have to have, no debate, the pims. You have to have the pims. Either get a jug with you and your friends or get a solo in a cup. And yeah, it's just very refreshing, very nice. But yeah, so bring your food, bring your drinks. But the two things to have at Wimbledon is definitely the strawberries and creams and the pims.
And on the pims as well, I want to say other Grand Slams have like kind of copied Wimbledon now, because I think each Grand Slam now has like a signature drink.
Like their own thing. So like US Open have Honey Deuce.
Exactly.
And Wimbledon's, I mean, pims. I'm not just saying this because obviously we're Brits and we're here, we're at home, but it's not hitting like pims. That's all I'm saying. Because the pims are very refreshing.
Yeah, and it's like quite sweet as well. Yeah. I've got a sweet tooth. I'm not a big alcohol drinker, but
I feel
enjoy
like
pims.
It's an easy drink to like get into compared to like, I feel like Honey Deuce, you either have to like it or don't like it. Whereas pims,
I think
feel
honey Deuce is stronger than pims.
Yeah, it is.
Like that can get you lit.
I'm just saying, I took a little sip while I was watching the match, and I was like, whoa hold on turn. A minute. Are we at tennis or are we in the club? Which one is it? the next thing I would definitely need you guys to know is that it's the Wimbledon etiquette. Now, just like tennis matches in general, just please, you know, make sure you don't clap during the matches, like between the matches and stuff. It's just like...
It's not so much between, like, it's basically clapping or making noise during a rally. Like you can clap between points.
Yes, that's it.
Which is very like, obviously that's like orderly and civilized. Mm-hmm. But yeah, don't be making noise like midway through players hitting balls, because that's just going to disrupt them.
And to be fair, I feel like compared to all other tennis tournaments, I feel like Wimbledon's even the only one where like, even if you make a lot of noise while there's like a break or there's nothing, people will still like, turn around. So that is why a lot of players always say, oh, Wimbledon, we have like the most polite crowds and everything. Yeah. And then you have fans saying, no, that's not true, because the football crowd is so different. Like there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of like, yeah, come on. But if you're more of that vibe where you're like, you know what, I want it to be a little bit more rowdy, like me, I don't like the whole quiet too much thing too much. then I highly recommend watching some matches in at the outside courts. The outside courts, it allows you to be, you know, a little bit more free, a little bit more loud. Obviously, there's a lot of noise, people are walking around.
Exactly.
So yeah, it allows you to have that little vibe where it's a little bit more busy compared to the show courts, like the center court, number one court, number two courts. I feel like number two courts is getting a little bit more casual as well. But center court and number one court are definitely the courts where, listen, even if you sneeze, you better be, you know. And lastly, one thing that I think that some people are not really aware of, after 3 p.m., there are actually resale tickets available from like £10 to £15 for the show court. So center court, court number one and court number two, at a ticket resale kiosk. And this is ideal for anyone who has ground admission tickets or they only have like a court one ticket, but want to get like a center court ticket. And yeah, it's just an opportunity for you to go to another court and then watch some of the top players, because a lot of times they do put the top players on the show courts and the money from them actually goes into charity as well. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, it's nice.
You're donating a little something and you are going to get some good tennis. But be mindful, there might be a long queue. There's times where I walk past and I'm like, what is this? What is going on? And do you know what's crazy? The first time when I was going to Wimbledon before media, I never knew about the resale kiosk thing. No, it wasn't until we were media and I kept on seeing this long queue. I'm like, you guys are on my, like, what is going on? And then I'm like, I saw resale. I was like, oh. So that's makes how sense. I found out about it. So yeah, so probably start queuing before 3 p.m. if you can. But just something to keep in mind in case you don't have any show courts tickets.
Good shout.
But yeah, but speaking of tickets, let's cover the most popular topic ever when it comes to Wimbledon. How to get Wimbledon tickets.
And Lucy is the expert, guys. So you're in good company. You're in good hands.
I'm just saying, you know. Thank you so much, Eugene. Okay, so there are two main ways to get the Wimbledon tickets, right? You have the Wimbledon ballot and then you have the queue. So let's actually start with the ballot. Now, the ballot actually begins from a year before, like August. Yeah. So about for instance, the ballot for this year was open from last year, August. And you'll have to sign up, make a Wimbledon account and everything. And it's very simple. You just sign up for the ballot and then you just sit down and relax. And that's it. Obviously, there's a period of when you can no longer sign up for the ballot. I think it's become even shorter lately.
I don't know what the cutoff is, yeah.
Before it was a couple of months, but I think they've cut it off for a couple of weeks now. Okay. Yeah, they've cut it much more like shorter and stuff now. And yeah, once that's cut off, you just sit down and wait and hope for the best. And honestly,
it's literally luck of the draw. Yeah. Like, so there's no kind of, it's just literally luck.
Exactly. So don't think, oh, first person for me to sign up. If I sign up, the second they send me that email, I'm going to get it. No, you can be the last person to sign up and you might get a ticket and you actually might not get a ticket. And then once you do get the tickets, they will send it to you. But one thing about Wimbledon is that they will send it at random. And what I mean by that is you can get accepted through the ballot and you might get a women's final ticket. You might get a first day ground admission ticket. You might get a number two court ticket for a Wednesday. It's really, really random. That's the one thing about the ballot. You don't actually get to really pick what day, what court.
Like have a say, yeah.
Exactly. So obviously with the ballot being open so early, you might be like, oh shoot, but I have some plans. I might not be able to go anymore, or this date doesn't work out for me. I might have work. The good thing about it is that if you're accepted through the ballot, you are allowed to return the tickets as long as it's 24 to 48 hours before your actual match. So you don't actually have to, it's not by force. They're not, you know, you're more than welcome to return them. Which gets to the best point and to the easiest way to get the tickets to Wimbledon for me anyway. So let's say you didn't get accepted through the ballot, right? You're like, oh shoot, I'm never going to Wimbledon. That's not actually really true. The thing is about the people who sign up through the ballot and not successful, you actually get access to resale tickets. And those resale tickets are basically the tickets that people have returned they're available tickets. I don't really know how they work, but all I know is you have access to the resale tickets. Normally, they'll send emails a couple months before Wimbledon starts, but the resale tickets will start to sell from probably like a day or two before Wimbledon actually begins. And unlike the ballot, you actually get to pick the day and the court that you want to go to. And that is how I was always able to go Wimbledon.
But that's also subject to like availability.
Subject to availability, yes. Yeah. So before, I always applied for the ballot, never got through. Never. Okay. So guys, please don't think, oh, ballot's going to work. No. I know some people have applied for 10 years, 15 years, never got a ticket, right? They've never been able to go. However, I was still able to go thanks to that resale option available. But here's the trick even with that. It's Hunger Games, okay? You see that struggle that you go through when you're trying to buy them Beyonce tickets when they're out? It's exactly the same
Every man
thing.
For themselves.
Listen, it is not easy. Like, I remember there was one time I got a Centre Court ticket on a Saturday at 10 p.m. So it's very random. Yeah, yeah. It's very
That's 23,
difficult.
23, no, 22, 23.
Something like that. It was 23. A couple of years ago. Yeah. I had to message my manager like, can I get half a day off? Because I'm going Wimbledon looks like it now. Literally, it is honestly Hunger Games. So yeah, it is easier in a way. You get to pick the dates and stuff. But unfortunately, it's not as easy. It's just like, yeah, you buy a ticket and that's it. Mm. Even if you go on the website and it says sold out, keep refreshing. Just think to yourself, I'm trying to get Beyonce tickets. And then... the process will be easy. Be prepared. Okay, just keep refreshing. A lot of times it says sold out, but there's actually some tickets left. And just to keep in mind, you can only buy either a pair or one ticket. The only thing that you actually cannot pick as well, which I forgot to mention, is your seats. So you can pick the court, pick the date, but you can't pick your seat. So you might be sitting right in front, it might be sitting right at the back. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. As long as you're there, this is something that's extremely rare. You can even get grad admission tickets to Wimbledon and you can still catch a vibe. And like I said, you never know, you might be able to get the resale kiosk tickets as well. So yeah, that is how to get the Wimbledon ticket through the ballot and resale. So make sure that when Wimbledon is done, you sign up to a Wimbledon account and you'll get an email saying the ballot is open, or probably through their socials, and then you sign up and then you let the rest do it. Now, if you ever do get the resale link and you have not signed up through the ballot, it's not going to work, by the way, because I know a lot of you have tried that, because it will ask you to log in and it will see that you haven't signed up through the ballot and it's like, oh, it's not working. So yeah, keep that in mind. The second way to get it is the queue.
It's not my thing, but personally, I mean,
respectfully, I don't know how you guys do it, but I can never queue for that long. It's really a British thing. We love queuing. No,
definitely. And like in an orderly fashion as well. Like
we love queuing. We will queue for anything. So in a way, it fits so perfectly for Wimbledon. Definitely. I know like the tennis fans around the world, they're like, why are you queuing? And like, you won't understand. This is our business.
You don't get it.
You don't get it. Like, we'll queue for anything. Greg's, Wimbledon, you name it, we will queue. So so the way that the queue works, what's actually most so interesting about it is that it's actually one of the very few big sport events that actually allows you to buy a premium ticket on the day. A lot of times with a lot of these big events is like, yeah, you have to buy in advance. So as much as it's a disadvantage of queuing, there's actually a good thing about it, which is you get on the day, you'll be able to attend. So the queue actually starts at Wimbledon Park before the championships begin. And other people are like there from like early. Some people actually stay there overnight.
Tents, camping out.
Guys, they're camping to get into Wimbledon, right? It's that deep. And normally that actually starts from Sunday, like the Sunday 2 to 3 p.m., something like that. But recently, there's people that start queuing from Saturday.
Yeah. Really
from
on it.
Saturday, they really are queuing. Really they're like, it. I have to see Djokovic on that center court when I enter today. But yeah, so when you join the queue, a steward will hand you like a queue card where it has like a date. It's numbered and it's dated. And you have to keep it with you till you have to buy your ticket. And once you get to the front, or when you get to buy a ticket, there is like a limited amount of like what you can buy and stuff. But yeah, I'd say definitely check the website in terms of like the dates of what you can buy. So for instance, Centre Court, you can't buy the last 4 days. I think it only buy the first 10 days of tickets. The last four, obviously semi-finals, finals and stuff is a bit tougher. So yeah, but I mean, I've never experienced it. Would you ever do it?
Probably not. I mean, to be fair, it would be a good experience. But yeah, for me, that's just not. I mean, yeah. I
Eugene said it's not that deep.
I'm sorry.
It's actually not deep. And I love Wimbledon, but I don't think... I would actually love to interview someone one day that actually done the queue.
Like, I think for some people as well, like they just do it because they enjoy it. Like they enjoy the experience
That's actually true. I think people take it in. It's a bit like Glastonbury, for instance.
Exactly, yeah.
That some people like the whole thing, like I don't think I can even do Glastonbury. Like, I'm sorry, like... I'm not a camping person. Let's just say that. I'm here to keep it cute and watch the tennis, okay? But most importantly, if you did not get tickets, again, a reminder that we will have a watch party here at Playbox Boxport Croydon, Sunday, 6th of July. Join us, guys. We're going to be here and watching the tennis. It's not that far from Wimbledon. Even if you're in Wimbledon, you know, when you finish...
Just jump on the tram.
You know, quick tram, you know? come and join us to watch some of the tennis.
And that's fourth round day as well. That's Sunday.
That's fourth round day. Yeah.
Second week.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna see some good tennis.
Exactly.
And yeah, you'll be in the company with us. So
exactly.
Yeah, please do come along, guys.
And speaking of tennis, let's talk about some prediction.
I think before we get into that as well, I think we should talk about like the players and kind of how it works. So the tournament actually starts a week before
mm-hmm.
in terms of qualifying. So players have to qualify to get in. So there are literally 128 players in both the men's and women's draws
mm-hmm.
That are playing for 16 spots in the qualifying competition.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite tough, like, to think 128 players are literally playing for only 16 spots.
Yeah.
Like, that is insane.
It is.
And it's tough to see as well, like, when you... Because in order to qualify, you've got to win 3 matches in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And those matches are all best of 3 sets for men and women. But for the men, when they get to the main draw, it's best of 5.
Yes.
The women, it's always best of 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, just talking more about qualifying, that final round of qualifying, I always feel it for that player that loses because it's like you've got exactly that,
right there.
That close. But then in saying that too, that's why sometimes you see lucky losers getting into the main draw.
Mm-hmm.
So a lucky loser is a player that's lost in the final round of qualifying, but someone in the main draw is pulled out due to injury or last minute, basically. Yeah. A lucky loser from qualifying gets in. So what you tend to find as well is that players that have lost in the final round of qualifying, they'll hang around during the tournament for like the first 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. A great example of that was Giovanni Pecci Perica last year.
Exactly. Yeah.
He was a lucky loser and he got in as one of the players pulled out.
Reached the fourth round.
And he reached the fourth round of Wimbledon.
Unbelievable.
So
look out for that because people often say, oh, what's the LL like next to the player's name? Like, because you either get a number or, the LL or mm-hmm. W, which means a wild card, which we'll talk about later on as well.
Yeah.
And then in the main draw now, it's all Grand Slams, it's 128 players in the main draw. So again, it's a lot. It's a lot of players.
A lot.
32 of those are seeded. So the top 32 players in the world basically mm-hmm. are amongst the 32 top seeds. And with the seeds, the kind of benefit of being a seed is that you can't meet another seeded player until the third round.
Yes.
So
it's like another big top player.
Exactly.
Basically.
Essentially, you have like two matches that are like, you should win as a seed.
Yeah.
But there's no guarantee. I mean, you sometimes get top seeds getting knocked out in the first round.
This is what I love about Grand Slams as well, because
everyone brings it.
The money is big. The ranking points are big. And this is a great opportunity for you to get to shine through.
This
so you will, you know, don't be thinking, oh yeah, this big player against that player, oh, it's going to be nothing. You're going to check that score and be like,
huh.
What? They lost.
So be aware of that.
For sure.
But I think that's important to kind of like,
just give
a quick kind of, summary or breakdown of like how that all kind of works.
Yes.
But yeah, predictions. Exactly. What were you saying? You're not going to like mine. I'll tell you that much right now.
You can tell me. What's your prediction for Wimbledon this year?
So, okay, just off the top or off the bat.
All right.
My men's winner.
Okay.
It's going to be Novak Djokovic. He's going to get to number 25. So Novak right now is on 24. He hasn't won a Grand Slam since 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Although he did win the Olympics last year, which mm-hmm. is a big deal, but it's not a slam.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like on grass, he's won Wimbledon countless amount of times already as well. I just feel like he's a threat on grass. I know Alcaraz is the guy right now, French Open champ, defending Wimbledon champion as well. Two time, definitely put some respect on his name. But I feel like Novak is, if there's a slam he's going to win, it's going to be Wimbledon. Lucy's not feeling that prediction.
Do you know, it's not that I'm not even feeling it. It's just that my thing on Novak for this Wimbledon, I don't even think he's even going to make a second week.
Wow. Sound like my Nadal pick from like last year.
I mean, you guys know how I am, you know. My big three is Roger Federer times three. But no, all jokes aside, it's mainly because of the fact that, number one, he's not seeded as high. His ranking has dropped.
Yeah.
So his draws are going to be tougher. Number two, I think the kids are catching up to Uncle. They're catching up to him. They're catching up. They know what to do. And I know it's a different surface, but he's still, you know, 24 Grand Slam champion. But clay season, French Open against Yannick Sinner proved it. Yannick Sinner dragged him.
He played well though, Lucy. But yeah,
this is what I'm saying. So when you get to Wimbledon, I mean, I feel like the main advantage that Novak has with Wimbledon is that it's grass. A lot of these kids are not really experienced on grass. So it might be a little bit tougher for them. But again, I think he's going to have a tougher draw. I think as much as the thing is about Djokovic is very smart with his game, especially on grass as well. But I think he's going to have some tough moments to catch up with them.
We'll see.
So that's why I'm not saying it as just like being, you know, controversial, whatever. But I'll honestly be surprised if Novak makes it to the second week.
So who's your pick for the men?
For the men? I actually think Yannick Sinner.
Really?
I think Yannick Sinner, because what happened at the French Open, I think Yannick Sinner is eating him up. And he's made it far to Wimbledon a lot of time as well. I think last year he was like semi-finals or quarter-final. He made it to the second week anyways. And I think Sinner has this different drive at the moment. And I feel like that French Open final against Carlos Alcaraz, like
longest French Open final in history.
When you listen to some of his interviews on Carlos Alcaraz,
he said he couldn't sleep as well for a few days.
And even before that match, he was like, Alcaraz is a person that keeps me up at night. Do you know how insane that sounds? Like, he knows what he's doing. So I'm hoping we actually get another Alcaraz and Sinner semi-final or final.
Well, it'll be a final because they're one and two seeds.
That's true. So, yeah. It's a final, yeah. So I'm looking forward to
that.
If it happens, it will be absolutely wonderful so that we can get that...
Fascinating.
That revenge.
So for the women, you said?
So for the women... I'm going to stick to my revenge bit.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, you know what? I'm stuck between Sabalenka and Keys.
Oh, really? Keys?
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm stuck between Sabalenka and Keys.
Keys could be a two-time Grand Slam champion in the year. I am
not too mad at it. I mean, last year, I think she had a really nice shot. It's just unfortunately she was slightly injured against Jasmine Paolini. That was a fire match.
Tough.
She's playing really well this entire season. I know it was a bit tough for her at Queens, which is what I watched at the HSBC Championships. She was playing there. But I have either Keys or Aryna Sabalenka. I can't pick one, sorry.
Interesting.
Sabalenka, I think, is because she's been close as well. And for her to make two Grand Slam finals.
She missed out last year. She didn't play last year, did she?
Was it the year before? Was it last year or the year before? I think it was the year before.
I want to say it was last year.
I can't remember, but I think one of those two.
I kind of need you to give me one, Lucy. I kind of need you to give me one. You know me, man. Come on.
Okay, I'm going to go Madison Keys.
Go on, Maddie.
She is my pick.
It's funny because I've actually got two as well. That's wild. Hey. But I'm going to go for one, but I'm going to give you my two.
Okay, cool.
So if you're familiar with this podcast, you know who my go-to pick is all the time on the women's side.
Coco Gauff.
World number two, Coco Gauff, French Open champion.
Hey.
But yeah, her best, to be fair, Wimbledon is probably her least best Grand Slam. So she's only reached the fourth round. I say only.
Mm-hmm.
Every other slam, she's reached quarters or better.
Yeah.
And one, two. So yeah, but I feel like she's got good game on grass, man. Like she's got the game for grass. Like
I think it will need her a little bit more time. I think in like 2 years, yeah. I think she'll peak like on grass. Do you know what it is as well? I feel like with grass, because that's where she had that kind of breakthrough.
Exactly.
I think a lot of people just expect like, oh yeah, Coco's going to, yeah, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen eventually.
I think it will happen eventually. I just think right now, just like a little bit of time, but I think she might make it further this year though.
Yeah, no, I hear that. And yeah. my second mm-hmm. pick, another American.
Yeah. Who?
Amanda Anisimova. She's playing good tennis. She's playing very good tennis. She got to the Queen's final.
Yes.
She did lose to Tatiana Maria.
Yes.
But yeah, I feel like Anisimova's a bit of player. Again, if you're familiar with like, if you follow tennis, basically, you would know the name Anisimova. Mm-hmm. And she hasn't had...
She won a 1,000 title
exactly this year. Exactly. She hasn't had like the breakthrough though at a Grand Slam yet.
And think Wimbledon will be the one?
I mean, she's had some good results. She did beat Coco Gauff, I think in 23 or 22.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she beat Coco Gauff 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she reached the quarterfinals. So, but yeah, I just feel like her breakthroughs, she's on the cusp of a breakthrough.
Okay.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it's at Wimbledon. And okay. Yeah. This year, potentially.
But who are you picking?
But you know who I'm picking. You know who I'm picking. Coco Gauff. It's going to be Coco Gauff. Cool. Can you imagine going back to back, though? French and sick. Wimbledon.
When's the last time we've had that for a woman? Like French and Wimbledon?
Probably Serena, I'm guessing. Like, need to check that, but yeah.
Who else? Oh, gosh. But yeah, but speaking of players, here are some players to watch this year at Wimbledon. Who are we starting off with,
Eugene? So let's go BSG. Okay. Like, first, mm-hmm. And women, let's go women first. So, mm-hmm. of course, we mentioned Coco Gauff.
Yep.
Who's the French Open champion. Jasmine Paolini, last year's runner-up.
Yeah.
The Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Australian Open champion, Madison Keys, like you said, as well. Well, your pick, really, isn't she? Naomi Osaka, again, she's a four-time Grand Slam champion.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia Parks, as well. She'll be in the main draw as well. She's a top 50 player, American. Hayley Baptiste as well, another American who's doing pretty well this year.
Yeah, great season.
Victoria Mboko, Canadian. Very exciting, 18-year-old.
Yep.
Everyone's very excited about her. Taylor Townsend, who's the women's doubles champion, actually, from last year with Katerina Siniakova.
And she won the Australian as well
exactly,
this year.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And... Britain's Heather Watson, who's also a wild card this year. So, mm-hmm. And she's also a Wimbledon champion. She won the mixed doubles title a few years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're the women we'll be paying particular attention to.
Yep.
The men. So we've got the world number 10, Ben Shelton. Ben Shelton, very exciting American, lefty. Francis Tiafoe, friend of the pod.
Yeah.
Another American, exciting player.
Mm-hmm.
Felix Auger-Aliassime, Canadian. Giovanni Pecci-Pericard, who we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting Frenchman. Gael Monfils, another Frenchman. Again, like showman. Everybody loves Gael Monfils.
For sure.
Gabriel Giallo, the Canadian. Shouts out to Giallo as well. Yeah. More on him later on.
Yeah.
Two British wild cards. So we've got Jay Clark and George Lofhagen, who are also going to be in the main draw as wild cards. So they're the players we're going to be like specifically focused on in terms of Blackspin Global.
Yes.
Some Brits now. So we have to talk about the Brits.
Who are we talking about next?
Right now, this is probably Jack Draper, the world number 4.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be seeded 4th, Lucy. So he won't be able, well, basically he'll avoid meeting Alcaraz and Sinner until the semi-finals. It's a big look.
Big look, big, guys. Big look. All but I'm saying is, get ready. We might get a bank holiday or something coming up.
It's coming home.
It's coming home, guys. It's not everyday football coming home sometime. Tennis coming home
but
too.
But no, seriously, guys. Jack Draper, for me, he's the real deal. He is. He's a proper player.
Great season.
I put him up there like with Murray in terms of like seeing his kind of rise, mm-hmm. and the kind of gradual progression in his game, and like he's respected.
And speaking of Murray, I see that you are not coaching anyone, so I don't know, man. When you're done with your tour,
let him rest.
Your little comedy tour, whatever that tour is, holler at our boy Jack Draper and let's bring it home more often.
Let Murray rest. But no, I think Draper has a very, very good shot. Mm-hmm. And again, I would not be surprised if, yeah, he's in the semi-finals, possibly a final.
I mean, right now he is playing the HSBC Championships as we speak. And I think he's playing today for his semi-final. For semi-final. Yeah. So he actually might face Alcaraz for the final, or if Alcaraz makes it to the final, of course. So his grass season is looking good. Aside from that, he's had a very great season. He's been playing really well on all surfaces.
Yeah.
So, you know, he won a 1,000 title on hard court. He reached the final at Madrid, which is also a 1,000.
On clay.
He went deep into the French Open. And now grass season, here he is. So he's been locked in and playing really well. So
proper
guys,
proper
if you're going to Wimbledon and Draper is there, I know. I said earlier, if you're going to center court and court number one or whatnot, keep it low. But when Draper's there, yeah,
make some noise.
Make some noise. Just a little bit, you know. And if you're gonna come to the watch party, if Draper is on that day,
oh wow,
guys, come on,
it's a wrap.
Let's bring it up. Let's bring the energy. We're free here to shout as much as we want at the playbox, you know. So it's fine.
No Wimbledon etiquette here. other Brits to look out for in the men's draw. So Cam Norrie again.
Yeah.
Pretty established, like, British player.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob Fernley as well. Billy Harris as well. They'll all be in the main draw. So yes, they'll be in the main draw courtesy of their ranking. So they would have to go through qualifying or depend on wild cards.
Yeah.
But then we do have some British wild cards as well. So we've got Dan Evans, Oliver Crawford, Johannes Munde, and Jack Pennington-Jones. And sorry, one more. Henry Searle, who's a 19-year-old, exciting teenager, actually. He won the junior title in 2023.
Okay.
So, like, there's a lot of talk about him as well. He's 19 nice. Now. But yeah, he'll be in the main draw as a wild card. On the women's side, so Emma Raducanu, I'm sure everybody knows Emma Raducanu, US Open champion. So she's now the new British world number one.
Yes.
Not British world number one, she's the British number one.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, again, she's playing some good tennis, Lucy.
Like, she is.
She's having a good season,
mm-hmm.
considering she's been suffering with injuries as well,
yeah,
like off and on for the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this year she started to like put some good results together.
Yeah.
Played doubles at Queens as well, yeah, with Katie Bowles, nice. which is fun. Boltokanu, look out for that. Maybe that might feature at Wimbledon, we're not sure.
Mm.
But yeah, Raducanu's will be the kind of biggest hope on the women's side in terms of Brits.
Yeah.
And then we do have Katie Bolter, like I mentioned, and Sonny Cartel. Mm-hmm. So they'll also be in the main draw right through their ranking. British wildcards. So some very exciting teenagers.
Yes.
So we've got Hannah Klugman, who's 16. She'll be in the main draw. Mika Story. This is a name I'm even going to struggle with.
This is your bag.
So she's a 16-year-old. She won the US Open last year, the junior girls US Open title last year.
Okay.
So her name's Mika Stoy. I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher your name. I'm so, so sorry in advance. Mika Stoy Sasyalevich. Mika, 16 years old.
I'm just going to clap in case you actually did. Thank you for trying.
And like I said, she won the US Open last year. So some good pedigree there.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got Mimi Zhu, who's mm-hmm. 17. She'll also be in the main draw. And then three more British wildcards. So Jodie Burridge,
yep.
Harriet Dart, and Fran Jones. They'll all be in the main draw as wildcards. So some exciting names, and like a lot of Brits as well, obviously,
yes,
that kind of get
course.
Handed wild yeah. cards, because obviously
it's find it interesting that some people were surprised that Boisson didn't get a wild
yeah,
card.
Yes and no. Like, so, because Petra Kvitova, she got one, but Kvitova is
a former champion.
Like, so, but I think there's one more to be announced, although I think Boisson's already confirmed in the qualifying draw. So I wasn't that surprised,
yeah,
to be fair.
That's what I'm saying. I'm surprised at people being surprised.
Yeah.
That's my surprise. Yeah. Like, yeah, she made it that far, but, you know, it's clay and, you know, and that's it. But either way, shout out to her for making it far.
Indeed,
for the French Open.
Indeed.
Who is the one player that you need to see on centre court, Eugene?
One player I need to see on centre court.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of mentioned him. Can I give you two?
Okay.
So the guy is going to be Carlos Alcaraz.
Okay.
Electrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think when you watch tennis on TV,
yeah,
it doesn't do the players justice, because mm-hmm. like the movement, the way they're hitting the ball, the power, like you don't get that unless you're there in person.
For sure.
Although if you come to Box Park and watch of us in Playbox, we can give you a little sense of how that feels. But but yeah, I think watching tennis in person is like a completely different experience. And I feel like a player like Carlos Alcaraz, that it's more apparent watching him, because it's just, yeah, it's like he's playing a different sport.
For sure. Essentially. I'm with you on that one.
And then a woman I find fascinating as well. And again, seeing her, I think it was 2 years ago, I saw her on center court for the first time. It was mm-hmm. Jasmine Paolini. Mm-hmm. And again, for someone of her size, the power she generates, it's scary. Yeah. And again, she's a great mover.
Yeah.
And like we said, she was a runner-up last year. Mm-hmm. Like, so no surprise, she can play on grass. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, those two are like two of the most exciting players, I think, right now.
Okay.
For you?
I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I think I'm actually going to go... I'm hoping there's going to be a match where he can play on centre court, which is Francis Tiafoe.
Oh, God.
Last year,
he
played against Carlos Alcaraz.
Took him to five. Crazy. And he wasn't even 100% fit as well. Let's remember that.
Exactly. And it was so good. I feel like Francis Tiafoe, when you put him on show courts,
he lights it up.
Like people, like, even here, they really love him. Like, his face was everywhere under the Barclays mm-hmm. ads and stuff. But but he really brings the energy and the entertainment. So I'm really hoping that there's going to be a match for him
to
play on center court. And for the woman, I'm going to go with... Some people might be shocked about this because of the temperature at the moment. Aryna Sabalenka.
Fair enough, yeah.
Aryna
was it that exaggerated? I'm sorry.
I get right now.
She's apologized.
You know, she's apologized, guys. So we can move on.
And Coco said it's cool as well.
Yeah. And so, I think she actually did apologize to her personally. Yeah, yeah, she sent her a private message. But either way, let's put the drama aside. But in terms of the actual game, so the actual match, Aryna Sabalenka, every time I watch her live, I'm like, nah, this is crazy. Her power, her energy. I know a lot of people like to complain about the whole like her moaning and stuff. I love it. Sorry.
When you say moaning, what, the grunts?
Like the grunts and everything. Okay, I love the grunts. Male, female, whatever. But she gets a lot of slack about it. I love it. Be dramatic about it. It's too quiet at Wimbledon. Drama. I love the drama, guys. Grunt as loud as you can. Like, that's how she grunts. That is literally how Aryna Sabalenka grunts. So yeah, those are the two players I'm definitely looking forward to on center court. Last but not least, best dressed prediction at Wimbledon this year. Now, this is a bit tough because Wimbledon has a strict rule, as we mentioned earlier. It has to be all white. Literally all white.
It's the only Grand Slam as well that has that kind of rule in force.
Like the rule is so strict that I remember Nick Kyrgios, when he wore the red cap during the final, he got fined for that.
Yeah, and his red dunk. I think it was wearing like red Jordans.
Yeah, or something like that. He was like, I don't care, bro. Fine me. But this drip, you guys need to see that. Same as Jannik Sinner, he had to ask Wimbledon for like permission for him to wear his Gucci bag into court as well. Yeah.
Gucci
obviously
boy.
He's sponsored by Gucci. And I was just like, this is crazy. Like all these rules, although they relax it a little bit for the women, for instance, they can wear like pink shorts if they want, something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know who I have for best.
It's difficult, like you said, because obviously the all white thing. So you can't be that kind of adventurous, really mm-hmm. and truly. But I will say, I've seen a few ads or promotional clips.
Yeah.
Mainly through Adidas. So Adidas athletes, their fits for Wimbledon this year looking very, very nice.
Shout out to Elina Svitolina. She looks so good on those pictures, those promotional shoots. But yeah, the fits are looking...
Because it's looking like traditional, but there's like a lot of green in there as well.
Yeah. I'm guessing they'll be able to wear it when they're walking in on court and outside of court.
Yeah, I think even the on court like fits, there's still going to be green. Like green accents. Like,
you know, women is relaxing the rules a little bit.
Look out for Felix Auger-Aliassime. He's an Adidas athlete. Gabriel Diallo as well.
Yes.
They're the only two that come to mind in terms of black skin, but yes, Cicelina,
she looked really nice on it. I'm looking forward to seeing that. But yeah, in terms of this, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Coco New Balance, she's...
I mean, New Balance has been killing it this year. They've been killing it this year. The only thing is that, again, all white. So I don't know how is that going to go. But I'm pretty sure it'll be like a nice car, like a nice... They always find a way to make it.
TFO as well, Lululemon. So would he come with a vest or would he come with a t-shirt? Ben Shelton as well. He's also known for wearing the vest.
The vest, yeah.
I guess it depends on the weather too. It's British summertime.
Listen, so, the weather that's happening right now, I need it to stay like this, please. Because the American players, they always think that it's always raining here. Guys, no, we've got a little bit of sun, a little sun. So, yeah, but I think that is it.
The underdogs. We didn't touch on underdogs.
Sorry, underdogs. Wimbledon underdogs.
Because I've got one. Okay, on the male side, and I've mentioned his name already. So, Gabriel Diallo.
Okay.
So, the 23-year-old Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
He actually won his first title this year in Sertogenbosch.
And that was
in the Netherlands, exactly, on grass.
Mm-hmm.
Reached the second round at Queens.
Yeah, well, round of 16.
Yeah. Won a round after literally coming to London 2 days after winning his first title in the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I feel like his game is well suited to grass. I think he's like 6'8", big serve, solid off both wings.
He moves well. And exactly. I remember when I interviewed him, he did say that his coach is well experienced on grass. So that helped him as well. But although he did say he never thought his first title would be on grass.
Look at that.
Here we are.
So yeah, I think Jello is someone, he could potentially make the second week. He won't be seeded as well. So that could be an upset for a seeded player early on. We'll see. So look out for that name. I thought you were going to go with someone that's another Canadian, but I won't say any more.
I was thinking about it.
Okay.
I was thinking about it. Victoria Moboko. My girl. My girl. Guys, I'm telling you, keep an eye. You guys are going to come back to this video and going to be like, I remember when Lucy from Blackspin Global mentioned Victoria Moboko.
She put us on.
That is how good this young girl is. She had her breakthrough. Well, she's had her breakthrough this year. She's playing so well. She's a type of player where she's great at everything.
Yeah.
But definitely, I feel like her most powerful thing is her backhand. But she moves so well. Like, when she plays against top players, every time at the end of the match, the top players are like, no, she is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Like, I respect her. She played Paula Badosa. Paula Badosa was like, why is she hitting like Aryna Sabalenka? That is crazy. That is how good she is. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to Victoria Moboko this Wimbledon. It's like the Canadians aren't bringing it.
No, definitely.
Yeah, guys, I think we've done you guys justice on your Wimbledon guide. So again, remember, we will be here at Playbox at Box Park, Croydon, Sunday, 6th of July. Come and watch tennis with us, guys. We're going to bring the vibes, bring the energy. If you are going in person, don't run and go home. Just come here quickly, you know, for a
pass through,
you know. Like Eugene said, quick tram, you know, quick bus, like literally it's around the corner. Like it's not that far from, you know, from Wimbledon. So join us for the championships. And most importantly as well, if you are really trying to get into tennis, make sure that you actually listen to our podcast. Now, during Wimbledon, we are there in person every day, obviously, except for the 6th of July, because we're going to be here. And we do daily pods. So at the end of the matches, once all the matches are done, we talk about the players, specifically the black players, and giving you a rundown of what has happened. We also include some press conferences as we go to the press as well. So yeah, if you want to stay up to date into tennis, it's not every day there's a big platform. Sometime just listen,
come and support the small independent.
So we'll be giving you all the updates from podcasts to socials to everything. We will be there to give you all the coverage on the championships. And yeah, I am really looking forward to Wimbledon this year.
The weather's looking nice. Although I will say, we're going to end it on here. It's just, Wimbledon is not Wimbledon without rain, Lucy. Like, I just have to say, I'm sorry. So guys, be prepared.
Be prepared,
like,
it might rain,
but the good thing is we have two show courts that have roofs. Centre and number one, mm-hmm. if it is raining outside, the show goes on those two courts.
Yes.
So just be prepared for that.
Yeah, for sure.
But in saying that, it's going to be a great time. And I think I'm looking forward to it. I cannot wait.
For sure. So guys, enjoy the championships and we shall see you here Sunday, 6th of July.
Take care, guys.